Thank you, Dave. Happy Sabbath, everyone. All right, give it a second for my PowerPoint here to come up. I figured on Halloween weekend it was appropriate that I talked about mummies. So the Pharaoh of the Exodus, a story written in time and stone. Part one. The story. Opening scene. The year was approximately 1446 BC. The African sun blazed over Egypt's golden sands. Beneath its scorching rays, an enslaved nation groaned under the weight of oppression. For centuries, the Hebrews bent their backs to build the monuments for kings who called themselves gods. But their cries had reached the heavens, and the God of Abraham was about to answer. Enter Amenhotep II, a warrior pharaoh, proud and unyielding. His chariots thundered across the desert. His word was law. Egypt was at its peak, wealthy, powerful, and untouchable. Or so it seemed. But in the shadows of the throne, a confrontation was brewing, one that would shake the very foundations of an empire. The plagues begin, Exodus 7 through 12. The Nile, the lifeblood of Egypt, turns to blood. Frogs invaded homes, gnats and flies swarmed across the land. Livestock perished. Darkness swallowed the sun. Then came a plague of boils, painful sores afflicting man and beast alike. Priests could not even stand before the Pharaoh because of their sores. The gods of Egypt were silent. The night of death, Exodus 12, verse 29. Then came a final blow. At midnight, every firstborn son in Egypt died, except those sheltered under the sign of the lamb's blood. Imagine the wailing that swept through the streets of Thebes. In the Valley of the Kings, archaeologists would one day find the tomb of Amenhotep II's firstborn son, dead at a young age. A prince who should have inherited the throne, gone, just as the book of Exodus foretold. The Great Escape. As dawn broke, an enslaved nation walked free. Chains fell, doors opened, and the Red Sea parted like the curtains on a cosmic stage. Egypt's pride laid shattered, and Amenhotep II's reign now bore the scars of divine judgment. Now let's transition from scripture into the modern era, where history and science converge to confirm the stories of the past. Part two, the archaeological and historical evidence. The eclipse that anchors time. Enter the Assyrian king list. The ancient record carved into clay tablets lists Assyrian rulers in order, often with key events listed beside them. Among these entries is a solar eclipse noted by scribes. Modern astronomers can calculate the exact time that the eclipse occurred, giving us a fixed point in time, a sort of chronological anchor. The eclipse took place on June 15th in 763 BC. This eclipse took place over Nineveh. In fact, many scholars believe it to be linked to the story of Jonah and may have contributed to the ultimate repentance of the city. In those times, solar eclipses were seen as signs of impending doom from the heavens. From that anchor, scholars align Assyrian, Babylonian, and Egyptian timelines. When we apply this to 1 Kings 6, verse 1, which places the Exodus about 480 years before Solomon's temple, we land squarely in the reign of Amenhotep II. Not Ramses, not Merneptah, but Amenhotep II. The tomb discovery. Fast forward to March 9th, 1898. The French Egyptologist Victor Loret descends into the Valley of the Kings and uncovers KV-35, the tomb of Amenhotep II. Inside, he finds the pharaoh's mummy, intact in its original sarcophagus, the first such discovery before Tutankhamun. It wasn't hard to know whose tomb it was because Amenhotep II's name was written directly on the tomb, on the sarcophagus. Inside, a chamber holding the remains of a young prince, likely Weben Senu, Amenhotep II's firstborn son. How did they identify the boy was Weben Senu? Canoptic jars bearing his name confirmed his identity. This is Weben Senu. And these are canoptic jars. Clearly, this was Weben Senu, the firstborn son of Amenhotep II, victim of the angel of death. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, Exodus 12, verse 29. Notice the ponytail on the side of his head, known as the sidelock of youth, only worn by the heir to the throne of the Pharaoh. The timeline aligns. Sorry, the plague of boils. Sorry if it's a little bit graphic. Forensic studies of Amenhotep II's mummy reveal lesions consistent with severe boils, the same as the plague described in Exodus 9. Coincidence or confirmation? Amenhotep II's reign, circa 1450 through 1410 BC, matches the biblical chronology derived from 1 Kings 4, 6 through 1. For over a century, there have been many naysayers in the world of archaeology, deniers of anything that confirms the events of the Bible as anything more than just myth. Yet as evidence continues to mount, and as more and more biblical sites are uncovered, and biblical history is confirmed, our ability to preach the gospel only increases. History and scripture are converging like two rivers meeting at the sea. The timelines align. The evidence speaks. And the meaning is clear. God's word is not myth. It is truth etched in time. The Exodus is more than a story. It is a testimony of deliverance, a promise that God still stands today. Happy Sabbath.